life. Just waiting for people to arrive, gone live, waiting for people to come in.
Is your message actually an Easter message of any kind?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome, there's a few people arriving. We'll just wait a minute or two, see if anyone else comes in. Good morning to those of you that are saying good morning. Good to see you joining.
Yeah, good evening, Paul.
Sorry, I keep getting that wrong. Yeah, good evening, Paul. So we always wait, once we've gone live, just wait a few moments, see if anyone else joins us. Of course, if you miss the start, you can always watch it on repeat on Facebook, so, or on our website. But we'll just wait a couple of moments till more people arrive, and then we'll start our service. Yes, nice comfy chair, Pauline, thank you. Great, a few more people arriving now, that's good. So we'll get started very shortly. You can see I'm not alone today. So Nunzi will have a few words for you just when we start. Shall we start?
Yeah.
On you go.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. And a happy resurrection morning to you.
Amen.
All. Vic has asked me just to say hello and share a couple of things. And I wanted to share with you a few things. First of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul is talking about resurrection. And he's talking about Jesus having been resurrected from the dead. And that there were some people who didn't believe in the resurrection. And so he's countering that thought and saying why he believes that that is so important. And he says this in verse 13. He says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Then going down to verse 16, he repeats that thought. He says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And then he says this, which is one of the most important things in the whole of our faith. He says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. And this was the reason that Jesus rose, was so that we could be free from our sins. And how he did that was when he went to the cross, he took our Adamic nature to the cross. When he went to the grave, he took our Adamic nature to the grave. And when he rose again, free from that Adamic
Amen.
Condition. And when we come into him, we are crucified with him. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And I want to show you in Romans 6 how Paul talks about this extensively. You know all these scriptures, we've talked about them a lot, especially last year, when this teaching really came alive in me about how we are not Adam anymore. We are not in Adam now. We are in Christ.
Amen.
That when Jesus died, he took us with him. And that when we come into Christ, we come into that new kind of man that he was raised to be. And we are now that resurrected man. So Romans chapter 6. Where shall I read from? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? This isn't talking about water baptism. This is talking about being born again.
Mm.
Baptism is about being immersed. So when we are immersed in Jesus Christ, when we come into him, we were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin, and we are dead in him and alive in him. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And listen to this. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love that word, reckon. It means to take into account, to think, to meditate, to reckon or account, to line up, to consider, to weigh, to meditate on, to deem, to judge. We have to look at these things and understand them and make sure that we know our position in Christ, that we are not Adam anymore, that Adam is dead in us, and that Jesus Christ is alive in us all through his resurrection. Amen. If he hadn't been resurrected, we'd still be in our sin because we wouldn't be able to enter into that new creation that he made for us to be. So, amen. We're raised with him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
As he is raised, so we are raised.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God bless you. I'll leave you with Vic.
Thanks, babe. Hallelujah. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it'd be nice for you to see Nunzi instead of just seeing me and hearing from me week after week. So maybe we'll get Nunzi to preach a message soon. That was a maybe. Hallelujah. So it's really good to see you, church. It's good to be with you once again. Okay, not face to face, but we are gathering. We are assembling together as church. We are the ecclesia. We are the body. So it's really good to have church with you this morning. We're going to have a similar service as to what we've had in the recent weeks. I will give a message. I've got starting a new series this week, one that also ties in with the Easter message. We will receive an offering and we will take communion together. So hopefully that will bless you. It's good to see all the comments coming in. Great to see people from the fellowship, and good to see Paul from Singapore, Sundar from India. It's great to have you all with us. It's lovely to see all the comments. So I hope you're blessed. So I'm going to do my message in a moment, but let's pray first and get ready to receive the word of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much that we have joined together as church this morning. Thank you that we have taken the time to assemble together, to encourage and edify and exhort one another through your word and through the comfort of the Holy Spirit and comfort of one another. So thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for these incorruptible seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. I thank you for your word that talks about understanding being so important. So I speak out understanding for every single one of us listening to these seeds being planted. Understanding so that seed will not be stolen away. Understanding so that a seed will germinate and that seed will grow and that seed will produce fruit in our lives. We thank you for this process that you instigated, Lord, and thank you for your word. Thank you for your seeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. So I have got a new series I want to start this Easter Sunday, but it's also a message for Easter Sunday, the traditional day when the church celebrates the risen Christ. Now, I was speaking to a friend on Friday, and we were saying that should be what every service is about, celebrating the risen Christ. In fact, that should be our daily purpose, to celebrate that Christ has risen, to celebrate what he's done in our lives, celebrate the taking away of that old nature and the giving of the new one that Nunzi had just spoken about. So I'm really glad that you could join us this Easter Sunday to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But thank you for joining for this new series of teaching that I've got. And it is important, church, that this is going to be about what Jesus spoke about. Very important this morning. He spoke about his resurrection. I want to take us through that. And Nunzi has just expounded to us how important it is, the resurrection. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here. We might as well just, I was going to say, we might as well go home. But we are home. But there'd be no point in having church if it wasn't for the resurrection. So what's this new series going to be about? Well, I want to introduce it by going to Matthew 8. And I want to read Matthew 8, 1 to 7. Let me get there. Matthew 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountains, that's Jesus, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I will. Words that Jesus speaks quite often in the Gospels. I will. And twice in this short passage, Jesus says, I will. Words that tell us what he will do, and words that will tell us what he did. Because what we will see as we go through this series, every time Jesus said, I will, he did it. Do a search for I will in your electronic Bibles, and you'll see that it's used quite a lot in the Word, and used many times by Jesus. And I want to spend time over the next few weeks going over quite a few of these I will statements. And then I think I'm going to move on to the I am statements. I want to spend some time focusing on what Jesus said, what he said he was going to do, what he would do for us, and what he would give to us through his ministries. You know, sometimes we read that theologians say, well, Jesus really didn't say much about what he was going to do. Jesus didn't say he was king. Jesus didn't say he was God. Jesus didn't say he was going to be raised from the dead. Well, I want to show you that he did, using his I will statements and his I am statements. Now, this is not what Vic thinks, because I'm going to be using the Word of God to show you what Jesus has said. So let's look at the first I will statement. It's something that's very, very appropriate for this morning. Go with me to John 2. That's gone too far. Go with me to John 2 and verse 18, and I'll read to verse 22, I think. So John 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. Here's the first I will. Appropriate for this Easter Sunday morning. Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. We've seen this famous account of when he gets his scourge and he overturns tables, he kicks over tables, and he sends the moneylenders, he gets him out of his father's house, talks about his father's house, making this a house of merchandising. And the Jews kind of hear this, my father's house, and the Jews start thinking, and they say to him, well, you've said these things, but show us a sign to tell us that what you're saying is true. What signs have you got to show that this is correct? And Jesus says, well, the temple's going to be destroyed, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Now, the Jews would have probably started laughing. It took 46 years to build the temple, it says in here. And you're going to build it in 3 days? That's laughable, that's impossible. What kind of sign is that? That's just the rantings of a lunatic. But Jesus was giving him a picture of his own death and his resurrection. He was using the temple building as a picture for himself, that temple, his body, was going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed on the cross. And then in 3 days, he was going to raise it up again. He was going to come to life. He was going to be resurrected. Now, eventually, the disciples would get this, but only after they'd seen the risen Christ. At this moment, they don't understand it. They don't get it. See, a lot of the times, Jesus spoke in parables, spoke in pictures, used typology, and they just didn't get it. You might think, well, that's maybe a little bit unfair on the disciples. Why didn't he just tell them straight out? Why did he have to use a picture in this I will statement? Well, let's go to Mark. Go to Mark verse 8, please. And we'll read from 27. So Mark 8, verse 27. And Jesus went out, and his disciples, unto the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. And some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, and this is an important question actually to the disciples, and it's a question that he asks every single one of us that we are going to have to answer sometime in our lives. But whom say ye that I am? He makes it personal. Whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And listen to this. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He spoke that saying openly. Now, this is pretty clear to me. Verse 32 says, he spoke that saying openly. Openly. The Greek for that means with frankness, with bluntness, and publicly, by implication, clearly, and openly. Now, that doesn't sound to me like he's talking in parables. That doesn't sound to me like he's talking in pictures, does it? He is talking really plainly, really frankly, with his disciples. He's saying, listen up, guys. This is it. You need to take this in, guys. Just listen very carefully. I will be killed, but I will be raised up on the third day. I will come back to life again. That's what he's saying here. Very clearly, with frankness, bluntness, it says. Openly and in public. Now, what we will find out as we go through this series, I've told you this already. When Jesus says, I will, he means it. When Jesus says, I will, it's a done deal. It's like a promise. And Jesus doesn't go back on his promises. So when Jesus says, I will, it's going to happen. Let me ask you, did Jesus ever sin? Thank you. Did Jesus never sin? No, he was not born from sin, and he lived a sinless life. He knew no sin, but yet he was made sin, so we might be the righteousness of God in him, is what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. There was no sin in Jesus. So if he had no sin, he could not lie. And he did not lie. He said, I will be killed. And he said, I will be raised up again after 3 days. I will be resurrected. I mean, sometimes in life, people go through life and they say, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. And they've got absolutely no intention of doing it. Or they forget, or they go and do something else. But when Jesus says, I will, that's as good as it done. Because this is God speaking here. And we know God can't go back on his word. Jesus is God and he's saying, I will. So we can be assured of that. So when Jesus said, I will be killed, that was going to happen. But it wasn't the end, was it? Because he said, I will rise again from the dead. So that's as good as happening as well. Yet the disciples just did not see that. They've had that picture of the temple. They would have known about that, heard about that. And now they've got Jesus speaking openly, telling them. And there's another time Jesus also pointed to scriptures to tell them what was going to happen. So go with me to Luke. Luke 18. And verse 31. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they will scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Awesome scriptures. Now, it looks to me, I haven't really studied this out fully, but on a quick reading, this looks to be a separate occasion from Mark 8. This looks to be a different time. And Jesus is saying, guys, here, if you look at the scriptures, now they'd have all known the scriptures, good Jewish boys, they would have known their Old Covenant or Old Testament or their scripture as it was then. They would have known that. They would have known the prophecies about the Messiah. And Jesus is saying, look to those scriptures, guys, and you will see what is going to happen. I'm the Messiah, so I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be scourged, I'm going to be spat on, I'm going to be all those things, but I will also rise on the third day. So, three different times the disciples have been told about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three times Jesus saying, I will be killed, I will be raised up, I will be resurrected. Showing them the scriptures here, showing them a picture in the temple, but also openly and plainly telling them what was going to happen. There's another account as well where he tells us that he's going to be crucified. That's in John 12. Another I will statement, slightly different I will statement, but still a great I will statement. John 12:28. There came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. And I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus telling them how he's going to die by crucifixion. He's going to be lifted up from the earth. Verse 33 says this was talking about his death. Not being risen up into the air as in his ascension. This is being lifted from the earth. Risen up on the cross. That's what this is talking about. Saying he's going to be crucified. And I spoke about this last week, remember? Verse 33 talking about his death. Verse 32 with men being in italics. This is another I will statement. This is talking about judgment. And I will draw all judgment unto me, is what Jesus is saying there. Saying he's going to be crucified. Now that is as good as saying I'm going to die. Because the Romans invented crucifixion and they were anointed at crucifying people. They were really skilled. If you were crucified, you died, you were killed. There's no debate about this. Jesus didn't faint on the cross and then come to in the tomb. That's just nonsense. He died on that cross. The Romans were good at it. He was crucified. Jesus said, I will be killed. And he even told us the method that he was going to be killed by. Now, history doesn't dispute this either, by the way. History now doesn't dispute that this chap called Jesus died on the cross, was crucified by the Romans. There's other evidence, as if the Bible is not enough evidence. There's other evidence, Roman writers and things like that, that tells us that this chap, Jesus, was crucified. There's also another Roman writer who actually says that Jesus was seen risen from the dead. So more evidence other than the Bible. He said, I will be killed, and he was. But praise God, that's not the end of the story, because he said something else, didn't he? He said, I will rise up on the third day. I will raise myself up in 3 days. He told of his death, yes, but he also told us of his resurrection. And we all know this because we have the book. I was going to say we know the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning almost of the story, him being resurrected. It's not the end of the story, his death. We have God's word. We have the Bible. We know what comes next. Jesus says, I will raise myself up on the third day. And hallelujah, he did. The tomb was empty. The body was gone. Jesus was alive. And he appears to a number of people over a number of occasions until his ascension. And we can celebrate that right now, this Easter weekend. Traditional time to remember his death and his resurrection and celebrate these truths. But it's a truth we need at the front of our minds every single day, friends. His death and his resurrection, absolutely vital. You see, Nunzi's already mentioned it, without this, our faith is just worthless. Everything in our faith, what we call Christianity, is based on what he said and what he did. I will, I am, and then we see that coming to pass. That's what our faith is built upon. He said, I will be killed. We base our faith on that. He said, I will raise again on the third day. And we base our faith on that. He said it, so it's a done deal. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Show you how important this is. Nunzi's kind of spoken about that already this morning. I just want to re-emphasize it and use similar scriptures, use same scriptures in a moment. But 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1 says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. All Paul was interested in was what Jesus has done. And then further in the same letter, 1 Corinthians 15, Nunzi's already taken us through that. Let's go to chapter 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And we still get people saying that. We still get important church people, theologians saying, well, the resurrection is a spiritual experience, and it was never meant to be taken physically. So whether Jesus rose from the dead or not, it's not really important. It doesn't matter whether you believe that or not. Just believe in God, that'll be fine. That's just nonsense, especially if we read the next bit of this passage. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he not raised up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, we are yet in our sins. If Christ was not risen, we are preaching in vain, and our faith is in vain. That word vain in the Greek is the word kinos, and it means empty. It says to me that our preaching, our faith is empty if it weren't for the resurrection. If it weren't for the Christ risen from the dead, all our preaching, all our faith is just empty, worthless. And why is this not the case? Why is it not empty? Why is it not worthless? Because Christ was raised from the dead. If he wasn't, it makes him a liar. Because you've seen these I will statements. I will raise up that temple, that body, in 3 days. Jesus said that. If he wasn't raised from the dead, he was a liar. Now, I've preached before on this. You listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. You find my message on that a few years ago. He never lied. He was of sound mind. So there's only one thing left. He has to be the Lord. If Christ was not risen from the dead, all our preaching, all our faith is a complete waste of time. But it's not. It's not, my friends, because Jesus said, I will rise up on the third day. I will be raised up from the dead after 3 days. And we can base our faith, we can base our preaching on that truth. You see, we'll see this going forward through this set of teaching. Every time Jesus says, I will, he does it. I will heal you. I will have mercy. I will have compassion. Every single time. I will be killed, but I will rise up on the third day. I will be resurrected. I'll tell you what, guys, it was the sight and the experience of the resurrected Christ and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit that empowered the disciples to go out and spread the gospel throughout the known world. People cannot keep up with lies. People always get caught out with lies. If people are living their lives through lies, they will get caught out in the end. You can never live a lie right throughout your whole life. If the apostles had not seen the risen Christ and they were preaching that, they were living a lie. And would they have died for the gospel if they were living a lie? Only one of the original disciples didn't die a violent death. All the disciples post-cross that had seen Jesus Christ risen, every single one of them, bar one, died a violent death for the gospel. Do you not think one of them would say that it was a lie to get out of being killed? Or they made themselves martyrs because of the truth that they'd seen the risen Christ. Christ died, yes, but he rose on the third day. That's a fact. That's what the word says. This speaks volumes to me that these men spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the known world because they'd seen the risen Christ and then they had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Guys, we need to firmly grasp the truth that Jesus is raised from the dead. Because that's what our faith, our preaching is all based upon. And then with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can do the powerful things like the disciples did. Amen. Hallelujah. The way the disciples spread the gospel were not the actions of liars or fools. The resurrection was not a lie. The disciples saw Jesus alive after his death. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. That's a fact from the word of God. He said, I will be killed. He said, I will rise up again on the third day. And that is what we are celebrating this morning and what we should be celebrating every morning. Hallelujah. I will. Words that Jesus used quite often. Words that we can look at to have an assurance of what he's going to do, if you're reading the Gospels, but also an assurance for us of what he's done. If he says, I will, it's a done deal. So I think it's a good start to this new series and a great way to start off our Easter Sunday is talking about Jesus. I will be killed, but I will be raised up on the third day. That those two I will statements that's worth basing all our preaching on and all our faith upon, so that it's not in vain. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope that word's blessed you. I'm now going to receive an offering. Real thanks to everybody that started giving in through our church bank account. To those people that are asking questions about, has my offering gone in? I've had to tell you that I haven't been able to check yet. The type of account we've got doesn't allow us online banking. So I'm waiting for our statement to come in on Tuesday or Wednesday. And I will then check the statement and I'll get back to everybody that's been asking me the question, is my offering in? But I'm assuming in faith that it's in there and I thank you for it. So I'm going to pray to receive another offering this morning. You know we've still got our commitments to keep to. Ministry support, local charities to help, orphans and widows to feed in India. Hopefully you'll have seen the pictures of our widows and orphans being delivered food now. So the restrictions have been lifted slightly. We're able to deliver food. So bless Sundar and the guys over there, especially the young men, Koti and Samuel, who are out delivering the food to our brothers and sisters in Karamuru. So we still need to be giving offerings into the church in order that we can keep that function going. So thank you and bless you, all of you that have put money into the church accounts through Bax transfers. And bless you, all of you that are keeping your little envelope and putting cash in there for when we next meet. So Father, I thank you for everyone giving offerings into the kingdom this morning. Thank you that it's through bank statements, or thank you that it's into envelopes with cash. We just thank you that we have the opportunity this morning to give back into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, that you are our provider. You have given us everything that we need. And thank you that we have this opportunity this morning to sow back into your kingdom. Thank you for the ministries that we are supporting, Father. Thank you for the local charities that we are supporting. Thank you for all the work that those ministries and charities are doing. Thank you, bless you for Sundar and the team in India for all the work doing over there. And thank you for the opportunity that we have as a church and as friends to work together with Sundar and to give into that ministry as well. So thank you and bless you for all that's being done in India. I thank you for this offering we have received this morning. Thank you for all the cheerful hearts that given. And I thank you that it will be used wisely for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I do really want to thank you all who are still giving into the church. It's a good time to sow, people. It's a good time to give. And it doesn't matter whether we're in lockdown or in quarantine or whatever. Sowing and reaping is still a law in the kingdom. Giving and receiving is still a law in the kingdom. So bless you. Thank you. We're now going to take communion together. So hopefully you've got your elements. Nunzi is going to serve us here in our living room. I'm sitting here with Nunzi and my girls. They're over there. So we're going to take communion together. I hope you've got your elements there. A wonderful time to take communion, folks, this Easter morning when we celebrate the risen Christ. It's wonderful to take communion every time we meet. Celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I think I've spoken to you in church recently about, I've had this revelation that when I used to speak about the finished work of Jesus Christ, in my head I just had the crucifixion. But now when I think about the finished work of Jesus Christ, I think about his death, his burial, his resurrection and his ascension. So it's that whole finished work that we celebrate this morning. But we especially, this morning, when we're talking about the elements, think about what Jesus went through on the cross for us. But it's wonderful to know that 3 days later, he's going to be raised from the dead and we're going to be able to preach and teach and our faith will be there and it won't be in vain. So hallelujah. So take your elements with me. Father God, I thank you so much for the symbol of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that Jesus was scourged and destroyed so that we might be made whole. Hallelujah. We thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for the symbol of the shed blood of Jesus. Blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sin. And thank you not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank you that Jesus was the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Everyone was forgiven, everyone was reconciled to God. Now we have the choice to reconcile ourselves to God. In the eyes of God, thank you that sin is not an issue anymore. It's been dealt with through the blood of Jesus. All forgiveness flowed, all reconciliation flowed. All mankind have been made, it's been made possible for all mankind to walk into salvation as a gift of grace through faith. We thank you that's all because of the reconciliation and all because of forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus. So Father, we thank you for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Abba Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his amazing finished work. Thank you for his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Thank you that he's now seated at your right hand, Father, his work finished. Thank you that he's provided all we need. Thank you that we have all spiritual blessings, all blessings in spiritual places because of Christ Jesus. Thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, we have even have the forgiveness of sins. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for joining us for our service this morning, this lovely Easter. I was going to say the weather is looking fantastic, but it's kind of a bit cloudy now. But it'll be fine. If you're getting out for your walk later, enjoy your walk in creation. Have a look for all those birds that are coming back. They're supposed to be swallows over Lossiemouth, allegedly. If you're walking in Lossie, have a look for them. But enjoy your walk. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy fellowship with your family. And look out for all our meetings next week. I've put out on the calendar on murraygrace.org.uk all the times for our communion next week and for a men's Bible study and for a Bible study. So have a look on the calendar for that. So bless you. It's been wonderful to see you. I'm just going to pray in closing and then free to go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Hallelujah. So Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you that we've been able to assemble as church to gather around your word, to receive an offering, to take communion and celebrate the wonderful finished work of Jesus Christ. I thank you for all the blessings that are coming in this day, blessings that are coming in the weeks and months ahead. I thank you for all that you provided for us, Father. I speak a blessing out over everyone listening right now, a blessing out over your households in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been so good to see you. We'll see you again soon. Bless you. If I don't see you till next Sunday, well, bless you. But we'll maybe see you through the week. So God bless. Bye, everyone.